Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
War has started. And we are hopelessly outgunned.
Director Fury, I think it's time.
You're here with a mission, sir? Trying to get me back in the world?
Trying to save it.
Doctor, we need you to come in.
What if I say no?
I'll persuade you.
What are you asking me to do? It's called the Avengers Initiative.
There's a bit of the trailer for the new blockbuster, the Avengers movie. It includes superheroes galore, bad guys and good guys. Sometimes the good guys aren't completely good. They're more like us than they are like, well, God. But what makes these stories so compelling for us, especially the story of the superhero, or in this case, the superheroes fighting together to save the world? Joining us for a review of the movie The Avengers, Pastor Jonathan Fisk. He's pastor of Bethany Lutheran Church in Naperville, Illinois, and he's host of the video blog called Worldview Everlasting. Jonathan, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Hey, good to be back.
What is it about the superhero story that makes for a good story, in your opinion?
I think it's because in superhero stories, maybe more than any other, you know, standard genre, you see a clear line drawn between good and evil. There is a right and there is a wrong, and the guy you're cheering for, usually, is the right. And this pricks at something in us, which I think is the law of God that's been built into creation. God made the world good, and even fallen creatures that we are, confessing as we do as Lutherans that we are plagued with the disease of original sin, there still is this innate desire to be good. And we may not know what good is, and we certainly can't achieve it, but we want it. We are chasing it. And so in the superhero movie, the superhero is that good. It's something to look up to, something to aspire to. And then on top of that, the connection with kind of the savior motif, that this superhero is in fact someone who is a protector, or I guess an avenger, if you will, but avenging what? Avenging goodness against evil.
Is there something here with about a minute and a half before break? Is there something here in the superhero figure, because every one of them also possesses, and some of them are deeply possessed of human faults and foibles, that also makes for a good story? About a minute and a half before a break.
Yeah, it's like the classic mythologies of old. It is in the humanity of these godlike people that we see ourselves and are forced to reckon with our own faults and our own desires for what we could be or might be or hope to think that we are. And for that reason, it makes for great plot. I mean, plot is built upon conflict. A story without conflict is no story, and nobody would ever watch it. And so these characters and the superheroes, as they wrestle with their identity in the world or whatever kind of struggle brought them to be where they are, for many of them it's the desire to be normal, they bring this conflict to a surface and are able to ask questions that everybody's asking, but they ask them in a way that you can kind of find universal answers or seek for universal answers through that story, through the conflict that arises. And so they're brought to a point where, in engaging with other character, we are able to find answers to our questions, our struggles, based on whether or not we agree with what they find, the answers that they find.
So good and evil, and then also the inherent flaws in the hero themselves. With about 30 seconds, what appeals to us in the hero, whether it's a superhero or any other kind of hero of literature or film?
Yeah, on the one hand, there's always probably some ego there. You know, we always want to be the hero. We like to conceive of ourselves better than we are. But on the other hand, there is a recognition that the world needs saving. The world needs good people. The world needs heroes to come and fix what is clearly wrong. The definition of a worldview is, who am I, what's my problem, and how does it get fixed? Everyone knows there's a problem. How do we fix it? And so in hero stories, we see hope that there is a fix somewhere. And then I believe, ultimately, these are all shadows of the real answer, the true hero who has fixed the world in his death on the cross.
Jonathan Fisk is our guest. We're getting a review of the movie The Avengers. When we come back, he'll walk us through the story. No spoilers, I promise. We'll get the story of The Avengers and talk a bit more about what makes a good story. Also, a question from one of our listeners near the end of our conversation. We'll fit it in there. When we last reviewed a movie with Jonathan, he was talking about the propriety, the place of violence in action movies in particular. And the question from our listener is, well, what about the propriety and place of sex in the movies? There's no shortage of that either. Pastor Jonathan Fisk is pastor at Bethany Lutheran Church in Naperville, Illinois, and he is host of the video blog Worldview Everlasting. After a conversation with Jonathan, and we wrap up our review of The Avengers, Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse will join us. We're going to talk about Vice President Joe Biden's view on same-sex marriage, a new Gallup poll on same-sex marriage, and many other subjects related to homosexuality and marriage with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse in about 15 minutes on Issues Etc.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Redeemer Lutheran, Mandeville, Louisiana. Our Savior Lutheran, Whitefish Bay, Wisconsin. Christ Lutheran, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Emmanuel Lutheran, Louisville, Nebraska. Grace Lutheran, Warminster, Pennsylvania. Trinity Lutheran, Valonia, Indiana. Emmanuel Lutheran, Pensacola, Florida. St. Athanasius Lutheran, Vienna, Virginia. And Emmaus Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
A year ago this month, I announced, along with other pro-life leaders, the boycott of Pepsi drink products. PepsiCo hired a company called Cinemix to conduct research on human taste reaction for a wide variety of ingredients. The chemical process included using kidney cells of an aborted baby. When confronted, Campbell Soups immediately severed their relationship with Cinemix. But Pepsi dug in until potential investors began to think twice because of the boycott. Paul Boykus, Pepsi's Vice President of Global Public Policy, recently made clear they were ending this controversial testing. They've even posted their decision on its website. Thanks to all who participated in the boycott. You help make the difference for this huge victory. It's proof you and I must stand up for the babies.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. It's Tuesday afternoon, May the 8th. Pastor Jonathan Fiske is our guest. We're getting a review of the movie The Avengers. Jonathan, these are kind of complicated, and this is kind of an ensemble cast, including a number of the familiar superheroes from the Marvel world. Can you walk us through the story, through the plot of The Avengers?
Yeah, I mean, they did a masterful job setting this thing up. There's four previous movies, plus maybe five if you count one from further back, leading into this ensemble. The story is that you have these various characters who have superpowers for a variety of reasons, from scientific experiments gone bad to scientific experiments gone right to being part of ancient Norse mythology. And they all have their own little worlds that they're living in, but they live in this DC universe that just means it's the world as we know it, told according to, not DC, Marvel, told according to Marvel Comics. So they're all in the same universe, so to speak, and they have a line connecting them in a group called S.H.I.E.L.D., which is probably American-run, but you don't really know, a government agency that's trying to protect the world from bad guys. And there is a really, really big bad guy named Loki, who is connected to one of the other characters, Thor, out of Norse mythology, who is partnered with some other really big bad guys, and they're going to destroy the world so that Loki can rule it. And the Avengers, through all of their various personality issues, have to come together and decide that fighting for what is good is more important than having their own way in the matter, which is what most of them kind of want at one point. It's kind of cool. One of the central characters is Captain America, who probably is not the strongest of them. I mean, he's strong. He's got all these abilities. But as you watch the show, he certainly doesn't have the most intense fight scenes. And he ends up being the leader, and it's almost by virtue of his 1950s circa, you know, old world Christianity morality that he is able to put himself aside and say, we need to do this for the right reasons. Probably the best line in the movie has to do with this kind of throwback to Americana and what made America great and its religiosity that made it great, that leads the characters to sacrifice of themselves, work together, and fight against this false god who would be God himself and put him back in his place.
And I take it that in the course of this, and even with the kind of the ensemble cast, the what shall we say, kind of the moral ambiguity of being a superhero comes on display. The one that interests me the most probably in that respect is the Hulk, who his superpower is that he can break things. And yeah. And it, when in Hulk mode, he's kind of more animal than man. He's uncontrollable. He's not necessarily going to do good all the time. Talk about that.
Yeah, he's a really cool character in this film, too, as they play with him. It made me wish that they had also done a Hulk movie intentionally leading up to this, the way they did it with the other characters. There was a Hulk movie, again, a few years back that really didn't have quite the strong reviews, and I only watched about half of it. I actually turned it off. I was kind of bored with it. But his character is just fascinating because he's been almost cursed with this ability through science gone bad, and yet he was trying to become a superhero and failed at it, becomes the Hulk. And he has to struggle with, well, do I hide this? Do I find a way to flee off into villages and help sick kids with my ability as a doctor so that I don't become this raging beast? And he has to really even be talked into using this superpower for good. Ultimately, he's the one that has the toe-to-toe fight with Loki, and it's probably one of the best moments in the movie. The conflict inside of the character, is there an answer to it? No, there's not. And in the end of it, he still is this really saint-sinner kind of creature, and he doesn't get to leave it behind, which is, again, part of what makes it real. You know, this intense fantasy and yet this intense reality that this man is not content with himself and cannot leave behind his past no matter what he would do, yet has to strive to do what is right for others at the end of the story. It's powerful stuff.
The way that the movie makers, and I'm going only here from having seen the previous Iron Man movies, masterfully played by the actor. The way that the movie makers have put together that character is he's just kind of an entrepreneurial opportunist. I mean, he really is. He kind of has to be coaxed into doing the right thing, but there's always some edge in it for him. He likes being a superhero.
Yeah, Tony Stark, played by Robert Downey Jr., and I got to admit he's my favorite character, probably because he's such a jerk, and he's hilarious. He just got this wit to him, and he is. He totally is not the guy you would want your daughter to date. I mean, there's just no way around this. And yet, at the same time, there are these moments in each of the movies, including this one, where you see that for all of his rude, self-pretentious show that he puts on, he also is very, very human in his neediness and in his desire to have honor at the end of the day. And it's precisely because those moments are so rare that, and so vulnerable that his character just rings tremendously authentic. It makes you want to cheer for him and pull for him at the end. He is willing to go the extra mile. There's several moments in the movie where and he is the one who's willing to die. Most of the other characters, like the Hulk, more or less can't die. Thor, more or less, isn't going to die. Tony Stark's just a guy. He's a guy in a suit, and he doesn't know what his outcome's going to be. He lives on the verge of death all the time anyway because he's got this piece of metal in his chest that could conceivably go into his heart if his battery stops working, because backstory there, but he's got a battery in his heart, basically. And yet he is the one that is willing to really risk all at several key points. Again, powerful self-sacrifice, a guy who's not good and yet must choose good for the sake of the greater whole. Amazing storytelling.
Talk a bit about because this is, although it is largely CGI violence, it is a violent movie. Talk about that, and then I've got a quick question from a listener about sex in movies as a parallel to violence in movies. Talk about its violence.
Yeah, there no doubt is violence. There's not really much blood and gore, so it's kind of, I don't know, softcore violence, a lot of punching and throwing and smashing and explosions. This is an ongoing question for the Christian is, you know, at what point are we glorying in pure destruction and chaos, and at one point is the destruction what we're fighting against, where in the story the good guy doesn't want the violence. He's consigned to violence for the sake of protecting the innocent. And you throw back to the 1950s westerns where, I don't know, Cool Hand Luke or whoever would shoot the bad guy in the hand so that the bad guy could no longer shoot anybody and would have to leave the city and you know, the heroine's safe and waving him goodbye as he rides off into the sunset and all this stuff. Well, there's still a bit of violence there. So at what point is it not acceptable? I don't think that we've been given that line to draw in Scripture. We're told to live with discernment and to let the commandments and the creed be our guide. And so I kind of land on the side of if the violence is serving the story and pointing to these character growths that really ultimately are about good versus evil and foreshadow the violent salvation of the cross, I'm okay with it. That can be a call a different Christian makes a different way, and that's cool. One thing that I think C.S. Lewis said this well. There's nothing wrong with piety. The problem is when I start expecting my piety to be the law for others to live by, and then you have legalism.
Okay, this question in a parallel vein comes from Pat in Saginaw, Michigan, and about a minute to respond. Pat says, I enjoyed your discussion on violence in action movies. How do you treat sexual themes in movies? I just saw The Lucky One this weekend with my husband of 28 years. I enjoyed the movie because it had some really good themes, but it still makes me uncomfortable with the sex scenes, and they think that they have to put it in to make a good movie. It especially bothers me when I see teenagers and younger kids in the audience. Unfortunately, not too many others see it my way. About a minute to respond.
Yeah, it's kind of in the same place. It's one of those, you know, gray lines. When Cinderella kisses the prince at the end of the movie, this is technically, you know, more physical connection than you're going to see in your average day-to-day life walking around your office building or in your family, right? And maybe the kids will see the parents kiss or so forth. But the thing is, you're at a point where you're taking something that's private and you're making it public, and it is in the realm of sexuality. Well, at what point is too much too much? And again, I think there's some freedom in terms of what a Christian might watch in film. Personally, I probably draw the line a lot closer on that one, or a lot nearer to seeing less of it on that one than I would on the violence, and that's my own personal piety. If a movie doesn't have much in it by way of story or other plot to really force me through it, I'm not going to elect to sit down and watch that. That's me. So it is kind of like where is your comfort level? Where is your piety sitting? Then there's the issue of kids. That's a whole other issue. At what point are children exposed to things? And I think a bigger question is, how are we teaching them through this? So let's say I don't have a teenager yet, but let's say I sit down with a teenager and watch something like, I don't know, Game of Thrones. I started watching Game of Thrones on TV the other night, and it's pretty heavy violence, actually more than I'm comfortable with, and there's a bit of sexuality in there that's probably more than I would want my 17-year-old son exposed to.
About 20 seconds here.
I have an option here. Do we watch it, and then I talk about it with my 17-year-old son and say, now, well, what's going on here? What are these relationships like? Or do I hide him from it and just expect him to deal with it on his own when he encounters it in the world? I am going to go to the side where we watch together, and I, as a parent, walk him through it. The thing about the movie theater is you're letting kids watch it without ever talking about it with them afterwards.
Pastor Jonathan Fisk is pastor at Bethany Lutheran Church in Naperville, Illinois. He's host of the video blog Worldview Everlasting. You'll find a link to Worldview Everlasting at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Thanks for your time, Jonathan.
Sure thing.
When we come back, we're going to round off this hour and actually lap over into the next hour, a conversation with Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse of the Ruth Institute about several issues. We really have her docket full today. First, Vice President Joe Biden has recently expressed his views on same-sex marriage. He's absolutely comfortable with it, he says. We'll also talk about a new Gallup poll on gay marriage, some of Dan Savage's anti-bullying speech to a high school journalism student, a Profile and Courage Award given to some former judges in Iowa, and we'll talk about a proposed marriage amendment in North Carolina with Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse after this. You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org. There's an app for that.
Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The Virtual Organist Service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
Wouldn't it be great if more of your fellow parishioners listened to Issues Etc.? Well, here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. The bulletin blurb is updated weekly. Issuesetc.org. Stay connected. Issuesetc.org.